This homily is the second in a three-part homily series where I'm reminding our parishioners on a vision. I'm inviting us to consider, inviting us not just to be Father Matthew's vision, but a vision for us to move in a direction of renewal. Because God is about new life. God is about bringing new life in places that are dark, or where it feels maybe a little sleepy. And so the vision I'm proposing is Trinitarian renewal in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it goes something like this. My vision for the parish is that everyone in St. Teresa would be grounded in the love of the Father, would be grounded in the Father's love, would have us be secure in the love of the Father. That everyone at St. Teresa would have a radical connection in the body of Christ. And that everyone at St. Teresa would know that they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. So secure in the Father's love, connected in the body of Christ. And know that they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And so with that in mind, looking at the gospel, three words, I'm looking at the radical connection in the body of Christ. So the three words that I'll be sharing from the gospel based on that is transformation, trial, and trust. Transformation, trial, and trust. So this gospel is about transformation. Here's a man blind from birth. And Jesus gives him the gift of sight. But so much more than physical sight. He has a spiritual sight to see Jesus as Messiah. So many of the contemporaries of Jesus did not see him as such. They saw this is just a man. He had physical and spiritual sight. And this is a transformation. Again, God wants to bring to us who may be blind to the workings of God. And who, when we come to church, we may only see, oh, it's the same old people that I know. And when we see on this altar, oh, that's just bread and wine. Some of us may be blind or have been blind and we didn't even know it to the things and working of God. And so what is this transformation Jesus does? He spits on the ground, makes clay, and tells him to wash. Now this seems like a rather curious way, kind of uncomfortable, unsanitary. Jesus probably would have gotten in some kind of trouble if he did that today, you know, like, whatever. But if you know your Bible, there's a very particular reason Jesus is doing this sign of dirt, spit, and healing. It's because there's a Bible verse, you are dust and unto dust you shall return, which we use at Ash Wednesday, which is based on the Hebrew tradition of how Adam was made. Adam was created from the ground. Eve, traditionally, was taken from the rib of Adam. But Hebrew tradition is that Adam was made from the dust of the earth. But if you ever try to do anything with dust, it doesn't really do much. And so Hebrew tradition was that at the creation of man, God spat on the ground and from that made clay and made the first man. And so you see what Jesus is doing is a recreation, recreating this man into a new man. That is transformation, right? And so all of this is pointing to baptism. In our baptism, we are transformed and brought into the body of Christ. And the Lord wants to offer spiritual sight. But sometimes it requires a special grace or something special, right? God offers, but we need the encouragement, the invitation, and sometimes the example and witness of our brothers and sisters to have our eyes opened. I've been sharing at the masses a little experience. Now, it's interesting the reactions I've gotten at the different masses. So we have a neighbor they've been a neighboring church, but now they're more present, more official. Healing Place recently opened a campus on 61, And they were, I think, at Galvez, one of the Galvez primary schools. And I had off that morning. I didn't have the 7:30 Mass. I only had the 9:30, 11:30. 7:30 is covered by Father Augustine Michael. So I went to Healing Place Church for the 8 a.m. service on their grand opening. And I'll tell you what was interesting is how many people came up to me and said, "Oh, you must be the priest here. I grew up at St. Mark. I got married at St. Teresa. I went to St. John, but now I'm here." I was like, "Oh, wow." There's no guilt in telling me that, and I wasn't about to argue. I mean, I'm a guest here. I'm a guest on your opening day. I'm not about to get in an argument why you should come, you know, become the Catholic Church. But I share that with people because I really believe there's something we can learn from our non-denominational brothers and sisters. And there's a reason many of our children, many of our brothers and sisters, or maybe some of our parents are going to a church like that, even though they grew up in the Catholic Church and went through Catholic school. And it's not just, you know, the emotions, because as I've shared with you before, I grew up going to Catholic school. I grew up going to St. Thomas More Catholic Church, but I never got to the point of appreciating the Eucharist. Because I believe, like, I never appreciated my experience in the congregation. And that was my experience at my girlfriend's non-denominational church in high school, was I found, like, the community. And that opened up my eyes to Jesus, to life in Christ. It was a community. A community that welcomed me, a community that loved me, a community that was intentional about walking with me, which is not, does not happen automatically in our Catholic communities. I believe that in our Catholic communities, when we have cultural Catholicism, that is, why are you Catholic? Well, because my mommy and dad are Catholic, right? Most of us, we're Catholic because that's where we're born into. In cultural Catholicism, where everyone's Catholic, it's easy to be Catholic, but it's hard to be a community. It's easy to be Catholic, but it's hard to be a community. Why? Because, well, I got other things to do, and we're just distracted, right? Now, contrast to the early Christian community. Now, when I'm looking at, when I see these non-denominational churches, they don't have a trademark on the vibrant community. That's the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, why did people convert at the beginning? It's because there was this radical community that was willing to die. And that's a different age. Back then, it was hard to be Christian. It was hard to be Catholic. Because it costs you something. But the trade-off was, it was easy to be a community. Because that's what you relied on. But for us, we grew up Catholic, it's easy to kind of like discount the community, leave Mass early, all these things, right? We don't believe in community. So we need transformation. All right. Transformation, right? So we believe that this is the body of Christ, that we're not blind to the body of Christ. Just as we need transformation, not to be blind to the body of Christ on this altar. Okay. Second word is trial. Because in order to build that community, it takes stepping out in faith. And any time you take a step out in faith, you risk ridicule. That's what happens to the blind man. He starts standing up for Jesus. And what does it say? They ridiculed him. Right? So the second that you start taking that step and saying, you know what, I want to be intentional about community and not just taking my church community for granted. And let's just say, for example, you feel inspired to team at the next Acts retreat. And you're taking a Wednesday or a Tuesday night for however many weeks, and your buddies say, "Hey, let's go drinking." And you say, "No, I got to do this thing called Acts." And they're like, "What is that?" And they may not say it, but they'll think, You're you know, your church lady. Oh, you're like, you know, you're like my mom or something like that. You stand up to yourself to ridicule. It is trial. What's fascinating in this gospel, as soon as Jesus heals a man, he seems to disappear. Did you notice that? Like, he gets healed and then Jesus disappears. And here's this guy standing up to the religious elites. Who healed you? What did he do? How dare you try to teach us? By himself, it seems. Or is he? Again, let's look at the biblical code of what's happening in the gospel. Whenever they ask, who is this guy? Is it a new guy? Or is it the guy we've always known? Is it some guy that we've never met? Or is it some guy that we've known all our lives? What does he say? Notice his cryptic response. I am. Well, buddy, you're not answering the question. Which one? The new guy? The old guy? I am. All right. Well, again, you have to know the Bible. What is John teaching us through his response? Who in the Gospel of John says, I am? Again and again and again. Who in the Gospel of John says, I am the bread of life? I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. It's Jesus. Jesus. So what's the fact of this man's transformation? Just like in your baptism, you're brought into the body of Christ. You're made a new creation. And so both is true. You're the same, but you're new. There's something different. You're the same man. People are going to look at you and say, "Who? Hey, is this a guy we've always known?" Yes. And, you know, for those of us who have had transformation, we've met Jesus Christ. Is he different? Yes. Both can be true. Both can be true. But it comes to trial. So that's why this man is able to stand. Because Christ is in him. That's what happens at your baptism. So we're able to stand the trial because Jesus lives in me. So transformation, trial, and then finally, trust. At the end of the gospel, Jesus, he says this curiously, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do might become blind. And some of the Pharisees said, surely we are also not blind, are we? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you are saying we see, so your sin remains. And this is a constant temptation in our journey of Christian life, whether we're at the beginning or the middle, or whether we're getting the hang of things. It's easy to go back to self-reliance, And I call it the, you know, oh, I'm good, right? So let's say you kind of maybe miss a few masses or something. You miss going to church a couple weekends and someone invites you back and you kind of, you know, like, I'm too busy. I got these other things to do. And someone says, hey, why don't you come to church? And you say, no, I'm good. All right. Or maybe it's been a couple years since you've been to confession. The priest invites you to come and you think in your heart, no, I'm good. Or maybe your buddies are starting a Bible study and you say, no, thanks, I'm good. It's easy for us to just assume that we have it taken care of. You know, my life, I got my own little life. And, you know, like, I'm doing a pretty good job. And yeah, God loves me. So we take that relationship for granted. And we think we can see, but we're really blind. We're really blind. So it requires trust. And even those of us who've had a transformation, it keeps going because that's the beginning. Then I can see my blind spots. I can see that places of self-reliance where I'm trying to do everything without God, where I'm trying to take care of my own needs without God, where I'm trying to fix things without God. He's saying trust. And part of that's admitting, okay, Lord, I know what I see. And I know what I don't see. You've given me sight, but I still have some blind spots. Lord, help me to trust you every day, not take you for granted. Okay. Of those three, which of those do you want to pray with? Transformation, trial, trust. Transformation, perhaps longing for that. Longing for that transformation. Longing for that renewal that God wants to bring in the individual's life. And then in the life of the community, trial, knowing that Jesus is not departed from you whenever you face that trial. If you've been baptized, he lives within you. You are not alone. Trust. Lord, help me to see my blind spots where I want to take back my will and live on it on my own. So let's pray that we may be open to God's giving sight. open to where He wants to lead us, to grow as a community, a place where His love is obvious and evident. Anytime someone comes in here, radical experience of the body of Christ. Not a bunch of disconnected believers, but those willing to love each other, pray for each other, support each other, help each other, walk with each other, be friends with each other. Let's pray for that radical transformation. We may be connected in the body of Christ so the world may see the difference His love makes. Amen.